Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of the Each One, Reach One show hosted by The Vouch System. Today we are happy to be joined by Mr. Michael Williams, who hails from Orlando, Florida. Mr. Williams, one of the few people I know that manages to balance a professional music tour, playing jazz music, and simultaneously being an excellent student at Florida State University College of Law, where he serves as the president of the Dolores Ozzene chapter of the Black Law Students Association, recently awarded the Southern Regional BALSA Chapter of the Year and going for the Nationals this week at the National Convention. Welcome to the show, Mr. Williams. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning to you.
Good morning. It is an early morning. I know you're down in Florida. Luckily, you're the same time zone as us.
Very luckily. You know, if I was on some of the places I tour at, we'd be, you know, I'm glad I'm in the East Coast today.
I hear that. That's right, man. Speaking of touring, I know. I think last year this time when I was still in law school, you were somewhere. Was it Czech Republic or Sweden?
yeah, I think a few months after I went to European tour, we went to play Montreux Jazz Fest. Some other festivals, but I think actually I was looking at my calendar last night. I think last year this time I was actually just getting back from San Francisco from playing at the at one of the famous jazz clubs out there in Oakland.
Okay.
Oakland, San Francisco area. Yeah.
Oakland, okay. Now who, like, for some people that may follow jazz music or that genre of music, who is it that you consistently tour with? A pretty famous musician.
I perform with quite a few pretty well known artists, but right now, I guess my most steady tour gig is with Cody Chestnut, who used to perform the hit song with The Roots called The Seed, and we recorded his new album Landing on 100. In Memphis, Tennessee, the same studio where all the Al Green's records were made, Willie Mitchell Studio. And so that's in the process of being finalized. It should be out, you know, pretty soon in the near future.
I see. Wow. So we can hear you, your sounds. And for those who don't know, you play the trumpet. We can hear some of your sounds on the new Cody Chestnut album coming up. I know he paid you handsomely.
we won't discuss that on the air, but he's a great man. He takes good care of his band.
Oh, good to hear. Now, I know that you balance your studies and your music very well, but how do you do it?
Well, I mean, for me, you know, I try to just give my all in both areas, and you know, the key for me has been learning. You know, just when to hit the stop button. You know, when I get tired. You know, when it gets to be, you know, bordering that level where it can get unhealthy. You know, I had to learn to just, you know, whether things are done or not. You know, get some rest, get back at it when I can, and just kind of live with the balance and not try to force, you know, anything to happen. To just kind of take things. I mean, I can give my all, do my best at it, but never try to sort of put too much in the cup.
I see. It's a tremendous balance, and I surely know, because just law school alone, some people have a hard time just balancing the school part.
Law school is tough. I mean, you know, my 1-0 year, I didn't perform as much, and then, you know, after I got through that that year, you know, I kind of, you know, took it up a little bit, and then the summer after. After the 1-0 year, I played a bit, and then that following fall of my 2-0 year, I was able to go over to Europe We played about, I think, 8 countries during that break. And then subsequently this past summer, same thing, you know, went. You know, it's a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't get it right. You know, there's some times when I say, you know, I've really been letting the music, you know, kind of drive the ship. And there's some times when, you know, I haven't been doing enough for music and, you know, law school takes over. And, you know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you just have to be comfortable, you know, being able to deal with those ups and downs. But, you know, it's very rewarding, I mean, to be able to do what I love to do in music and also, you know, do something that I've become very passionate about and studying, you know, the law and the things, the ideas, the people I'll be able to help with that course of study, you know, kind of serves as inspiration to keep me going when it does get to those late hours and I have to, you know, the balance is a little tough.
Absolutely, and we know about the late hours, actually probably studying together quite a few times.
Right, all about the late hours. Sometimes right. Late hours turn into the early hours, you know, starts out late, the next thing you know, it's time for breakfast. But, you know, the opportunity is one that doesn't come to, you know, a lot of African-American men. And so, you know, sometimes it's tough. I know, you know, for most law students, they've had those experiences where, you know, they see, you know, maybe marks in some of their classes they've just never seen before in their life. But I think, you know, keeping your eye on the prize is kind of the way to go. And it makes those long hours worth it, I think, to look, you know, at what you'll be able to do, you know, for your family, for your friends, for your community. And so, you know, I try to just not think about it once it gets too late and just, you know, keep the train moving.
Yes, exactly. Precisely. Now, I guess at Florida A&M, you were a double major and still managed to graduate magna cum laude. Now, you were a jazz studies and philosophy and religion major. Can you tell us what all that means? What are you studying?
what happened is I went there on a scholarship, a music scholarship. I was a business major for about 3 hours. And one of the first things I heard from one of the professors was, you know, if you can't be willing to, you know, serve a company with your all, you know, this isn't the place for you. So, you know, I immediately went back, became a jazz studies major, which is something, you know, looking back, I can't believe I ever tried to do anything different. And so studying jazz studies, you study, you know, the American art form, jazz music, and, you know, the theory behind it. You start out in very elementary theory, and then you move up into jazz theory. You study arranging, writing, different kinds of orchestration, jazz improvisation. Like many other courses, you know, there's just a bunch of concentrated courses to kind of focus your talents and develop you. And as I was finishing up my jazz studies degree, I took a philosophy class with a professor at FAMU named Dr. Council. And, you know, we got into it right away. I didn't realize at the time, you know, exactly how, you know, philosophical discussion worked. And so, you know, I took her challenges personally when we, you know, argued. And, you know, so she told me, I think on the second or third day of class, you know, you better read everything in this class because, you know, you're going to fail my class. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you know, I took it personally and I, you know, dove into that philosophy book and, you know, I was the best student in that class. And later, you know, her and I immediately got really close after the class. And she, you know, she told me that she had actually spoken to some of my jazz studies classmates. And they told her, you know, wait till you get Mike in class, you might start arguing. So she actually dated me. But, you know, I'm so appreciative to her for dating me because studying philosophy is really the thing that allows me to keep that balance that we spoke of earlier. You know, once I took that course, I just had to get more, so I took another course. And then I realized that if I, you know, loaded up quite a bit after I finished my jazz studies degree, I could finish the philosophy degree in just a year. So I took, you know, a very heavy course load and did it. And, you know, it was that time that I really, you know, learned and started to understand how to think about things on a broad scale and understanding, you know, basic principles that seem basic, but they really have a lot of thought behind them, like life balance, like what it means to be happy, you know, like what it, you know, what it does for someone to help people. I mean, all these sorts of things that, you know, I wouldn't have considered fully be with my head behind the trumpet that I'm studying philosophy, you know, primarily under Dr. Counsell, Dr. Felder, and Dr. Labossiere at FAMU really brought out. And, you know, it allows me to really take it, you know, take it to where I need it to be.
Okay. Now you are also, I guess, to speak more on studies right now, Florida State College of Law. You came in as a LAD scholar.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain how you got that prize and award?
When I was getting ready to apply to school, you know, I did okay on the LSAT. I did pretty good, and you know, they offered that LAD scholarship, which you know, is a lifesaver for me. It it pays a, you know, a good portion of my tuition, almost all of it each semester. So the only debt I've been forced to go into was, you know, just living expenses. I think it's a, you know, combination of your background, you know, the uniqueness of your degrees, and then, you know, your qualifications academically. And, you know, it was a great honor, and it was one of the main reasons that I decided to come to Florida State, is that they really, you know, go after African-American students, and they really recruit you and let you know that they want you to be there. And I think that's, you know, obviously just unique among law schools, for a law school to be that sort of personally accepting of you, and also, you know, to want you to be there. It's a good feeling.
Absolutely. A testament to Dean Widener and the rest of his staff that treats everybody well, the rest of the administration at the law school, and probably the general school as well, making sure that they actually go and actively seek African-Americans that are talented to come there instead of opting to go to other schools that they may have a better rank or reputation and so forth. So.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, Florida State, I mean, coming from HBCU, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. But Florida State, they do a great job of making you comfortable. And not in the sense that they're coddling you, but more so in the sense that, you know, you feel inspired to really do your best and to give back. And, you know, that's part of the reason that it was so easy for me to make the choice to run for Boston president, is because I just felt like, you know, FSU law and, you know, particularly FSU Boston in general, I mean, given so much to my experience that I just wanted to give something back this year. And it's been a wonderful experience for me.
Oh, great to hear. Well, you've actually led the school to the Southern Regional Balsa Chapter of the Year Award, and are shooting for that national award this year again, which will make it two in a row. You know, how do you guys kind of do it? And maybe I have a, being part a member of the organization last year, I've seen, but how do you guys do it back to back?
I mean, you know, I think for us the key is that we don't do it for the accolades. You know, we have an excellent executive board. We're very close with the vice president, Matthew Williams, no relation, but, you know, very good friend of mine who also went to FAMU. And we have a wonderful team. We have Shimon Christian, our secretary, and Belisha Desgraves, our treasurer, and Jordan Neal, financial secretary, Jason McIntosh, member at large. Janine Anderson is our social justice chair, and we have Anna Crutcher, who returned as our community service chair. I have to name all of them because they all work so hard. And, you know, it enables us to spread the load. And really, you know, our goal is to help the community and help, you know, fellow students and help us get into the legal profession. And we do the work. We love the work. We love to reach the kids. We love to get to know, you know, our mentors and the Tallahassee Barristers and other legal organizations that, you know, really reach back to us. And I think when you do things for the right reason, and when you really go out to help people, and when you really serve with a servant's heart, you know, it just seems like the awards, they just come naturally. So I think it's really just a testament to our commitment to, you know, the mission of BALSA, more so than, you know, us, you know, looking for for some sort of award, and I'm so excited for the school and for, you know, our Boston chapter, that work has been able to be recognized.
Absolutely. Kudos goes out to the entire organization, chapter, the board members, the general members, and the school for also backing you guys, which I'm going to do with Dean Widener there. Now, you're very passionate about a few things, including education and the arts programs for minorities. Why do you think arts programs for minorities are crucial?
Well, you know, for me, when I was young, before I started playing music, I had a really, really bad temper. And, you know, through two things, that temper was able to become, you know, now what most people know when they meet me. You know, they talk about how peaceful I am. The first thing, you know, is my faith. You know, I'm a Christian, and I remember going to hear a sermon about tempers, and, you know, it just spoke to my heart, and I went up and, you know, the pastor prayed for me, and, you know, there was a change in my heart in that way. And the second thing was music. When I started playing the trumpet, you know, everybody who's around, you know, just noticed kind of a calm come over me. I needed that outlet. You know, I was, you know, doing well at school and getting terrible conduct grades. I mean, I was getting almost perfect marks in school and then almost, you know, the opposite in conduct. And I think, you know, for many African Americans, you know, who come from, you know, a variety of backgrounds, you know, they may have that same problem, misdirected passing. And I look back and think, you know, had it not been music, you know, I could have very well ended up being a statistic, like, you know, many of the people who, you know, we reach out to help with Boston that I grew up with. And so I think for me, you know, one of my goals is to reach back in the community and to take some of these arts programs into the community so that, you know, those same people, people just like me who, you know, may be, you know, called bad or, you know, called trouble students, they have access to some outlets that can really allow them to flourish and reach their potential instead of ending up, you know, in prison or, you know, even just not fully reaching their potential, which is, you know, another kind of prison altogether.
Oh, amazing. Now, to that end, you also are passionate, I guess, about, you know, domestic cases in terms of the family and family law. And you're working right now as volunteering, I guess, as a family law case assistant or SLI intern.
Yeah, actually, the wonderful thing in Florida, I'm not sure exactly how it works in other states, but in Florida, you can get certified by the Supreme Court of Florida and become a certified legal intern. And so I work the Public Interest Law Center. You know, it's a clinic in conjunction with the university that handles family law cases. There's a child advocacy portion, there is a medical malpractice portion, and the family law portion, which I work in. And, it really speaks exactly to some of those issues. You know, I've seen come across my desk just in my short time over the past year, you know, cases where, you know, you see kids with, you know, behavioral issues, and you meet the kids, you know, in the client interview or a court or at some point, you know, during the process of representing someone. And you say to yourself, I can't believe, you know, this precious child is the person who, you know, these things have happened and I see in the case file. And so, you know, it became a passion of mine instantly, you know, for the same reason that music was. It's just I see so much potential in my community, in the Black community. And working family law cases is one way, you know, volunteering, you know, it's tough, you know, I could probably make, you know, a little bit more money, obviously, by working, you know, clerking somewhere, but I don't think I could have the same impact. And so, you know, just to be able to interact with the people who need the help and to be able to talk frankly with them about, you know, things that help me, you know, and then to also be able to represent them and, you know, help them, you know, whether it's, you know, trying to be able to see their children after they've made a couple of mistakes and ended up in jail or helping them through, you know, a tough divorce. It's, you know, my little way that I can, you know, try to make a dent in the wall that's in front of a lot of African Americans.
Yes, that sounds like a great clinic and is doing a great service to the community out there in the Tallahassee area. Now, for those that may come to visit Tallahassee area, or live around Tallahassee area, I know you perform Fridays at a certain location with your bandmates.
Yeah, I had the great opportunity of meeting Nikki Tasu, who's the owner of a jazz club there called called the Hi-Fi Jazz Cafe. It's a very intimate music venue. It reminds everybody who's been in, you know, a lot of clubs in New York of a New York club, and he, you know, he took his time and really made it feel that way. And you know, my quartet, sometimes quintet, the Mike Tet, performs there regularly Fridays when I'm in town, which, you know, is getting fewer and fewer. But it's, you know, it's a great opportunity, a great outlet, and a lot of law students get to come out and see that other side. And I just think it's great for, you know, there to be a jazz venue in the Black community. Jazz is such a special art form, in that, you know, I really think people will give it a chance, you know, to speak to every age group. You don't worry about, you know, certain lyrics that you want your kids to hear. And things that are expressed in jazz are, you know, things that appeal to I think everyone, every human being. And so it's been great to be able to play there. And I've also been serving as, you know, an artistic director of sorts, with the contacts that I have from, you know, traveling and touring, when, you know, we're able to bring musicians in, and then locally, you know, helping to coordinate with, you know, Tallahassee, which has a wealth of talented jazz musicians, getting, you know, a variety of different styles of music, everything from free jazz to, you know, R&B and soul and poetry, all in that one venue. So it's been a wonderful experience, and you know, I hope I can continue to do those sorts of things as I move forward in my legal career.
I see. I may be able to see you then, or our vision that you'll be in the entertainment law / publishing rights and in that aspect when you finish. Is that kind of where you think you may be leaning towards?
Oh yeah, that would be ideal for me. You know, if I could work, you know, another sort of underprotected group, I think, is often artists. You know, they're so focused on developing as musicians or singers or poets or dancers that they often forget, you know, about the laws that govern that area and how easy it is for people to take advantage of them. You know, I've taken some copyright courses while I've been at FSU Law and also entertainment law. And, you know, I hope to really be able to help a lot of artists who need that information to protect, you know, that those precious gifts that they have in their creations and their art from, you know, opportunists who may just want to come and take it. And in many ways, you know, all these things are quite similar. You know, the kids I'm passionate about, you know, the teenagers and young adults I'm passionate about, the artists that I'm passionate about, these are all people who get taken advantage of, you know, for whatever reason, whether it be some sort of economic system that they've come into, or some sort of legal system they come into. And so hopefully, you know, I can do some work to just kind of set some of those people free. I think if I can do that, you know, I'll be able to look back on my life and be happy about it.
I'm sure you will look back and be happy either way, but also help some of those kids would be a great bonus and serve everybody well. Now, I know that you're going to be upcoming studying for that Board of Bar, which is a beast, soon. Do you plan on continuing playing while you're studying? How's your schedule going to look?
My schedule, you know, is going to be clear from May when I graduate until July when I take the bar. I have sent out an ADB to everyone I can think of that will be unavailable. I couldn't squander this opportunity and not really, you know, give it my best. And, you know, I think, you know, that's the only thing I can ask of myself, but I do require that of myself, you know, especially for something as important as the bar. So I'm going to be, you know, turning the phone off, you know, so to speak. I'll still be practicing, of course. You know, it's a part of my daily routine, playing trumpet and piano and singing. And so, you know, I'm sure that'll be a part of, that's almost like a meditation for me in the mornings. But outside of that, I won't be performing at all. But I will keep those tools sharp for anyone who's listening, you know, after the bar. I will still have it together, and you know, my phone will be back on, and business will be back up and running.
Right. That'll be not a problem, I'm sure, for you. As you balance your activity quite well in your 3 years of law school and 4 years or before that in undergrad, so I'm sure that will push you. You know, the bar is a different monster altogether.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people I know, like our radio hosts, you know, are able to conquer that monster better than others.
Well, I appreciate you hearing me today, man. You make it quite light in the morning. It seems like you may want to go towards a small firm, medium-sized firm route instead of the large firm, you know, one of these big white shoes firms. Why do you think that may be?
Well, you know, I think for me, I mean, you know, as we discussed today, you know, all of my passions involve being able to help people, you know, being able to look people in the eye, find out what their problems are and help them, whether that be with musicians, with children, with teenagers, with, you know, disadvantaged people or family law. And you know, as I move into legal profession, I realize it can't all be pro bono, of course. But, you know, even, you know, whatever kind of work it is, I know in medium-sized and small firms that I've been fortunate enough to be able to, you know, get a close look at during my time in law school, they really have a really personal relationship with their clients. You know, most of the people in the office know each other, and then they know their clients personally and are able to really, really help their clients get to know them. And I'm the kind of person that just has to be, you know, I have to have that contact with human beings. You know, that's the most important thing to me, is to just show my love for human beings every day. You know, not to get too spiritual, but it's early in the morning, you know, spiritual meditation time. And, you know, and John, you know, talks about the greatest commandment being love, and it, you know, the world will know Christians by the love they show. And that's one of the things that I try to live by. So I think working in a smaller firm will allow me to still do that and also to still cultivate the things I'm passionate about, you know, music and, you know, advocating for education, which is why, you know, I volunteer also as a TA at FAMU, just, you know, to give back and really try to touch people. So I think a smaller firm would allow me to still do some of those things, maybe teach a class, maybe run a community centers later, and, you know, those same sorts of things. So I think that would be ideal for me.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you, though I don't work at a firm at all. I have friends that have gone all three routes. I can say that the ones that have gone to the maybe larger firms find that their social time has decreased, maybe to nil.
And they're paid handsomely for it. You know, I can't knock them. But you know, I think, you know, you have to figure out what works for you. If law school teaches you anything, teach you to figure out what works for you. And I just think, you know, I belong somewhere where I can really touch some people.
Right. Well, I'm sure you'll find success, you know, at a small private firm, just as, you know, some people find it at a big firm, but it'll allow you to also follow some of your other passions and have a better, you know, maybe work-life balance, whatever they call that nowadays.
Right. It changes, you know, every week. Every time someone comes out a new book, there's a new name for balance. You know, people have been renaming balance for hundreds of years.
Right. Now, I'll be seeing you up in D.C. This week for the National Balsa Convention. I'll make sure we have a good time and show you some of my adopted city, I guess, in a way.
Absolutely. I will have it no other way, you know, and I think since we're in the air, you know, you should go ahead and commit to paying for all the meals now, you know, being a prestigious graduate of SSU Law. I think, you know, giving back to a struggling student would be, you know, the best way for me. So before we go, I have to acknowledge I'm Dean Janaea Daniels, who's our advisor, and just one of the best things going for any college of law in the country. She is indispensable for what we do, and you know, when we have an issue, she's who we go to. So Dean Daniels, thank you so much for everything you do.
Absolutely, 100%. If I can more than 100%, I'm more than 100% agree with you on that one there. So I want to thank Dean Daniels as well personally for actually helping and guiding myself ultimately, I know what she does for all the students there, but me personally throughout my time at the law school. Mike, thank you for joining us. Have a safe flight.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you for having me, and thanks to everybody who listened and helped somebody today. You know, everybody who's listening, go help somebody today. You can do it.
Certainly, certainly. Have a good one. Thank you.
Okay, you too.
Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Each One Reach One show. We had a very candid conversation with the president of the FSU Black Law Students Association, Mr. Mike Williams, who also happens to be a great musician and trumpeter. You can actually search for some of his music online. But check out the Florida State Law and some of the good things the Black Law Students Association is doing there. Come sit down with us next week as we speak with another dynamic young individual.